morning. So today is the first day, and so there will be a little change in the program. The program will remain the same the following days, but today, as it is the first day, and tomorrow we will start in the afternoon the interviews. So I propose to teach thoroughly today the methods, so that before you come to the interview, you have some clarity how to practice, and you will have the grasp of the method. The Anapanasati meditation, as it is called, the mindfulness of the breath meditation, is based in all Buddhist traditions, in the northern tradition and in the southern tradition. You may have noticed I don't use the name Mahayana, Hinayana, because this we should avoid to use. Nobody likes to be inferior. and it leads to great misunderstandings. Actually, we should study both traditions, because they both have advantage, and they can be very well combined together. We cannot understand Buddhism without the differentiating wisdom, which is emphasized in Theravada, and the differentiating wisdom is not enough. We have to have also non-differentiating wisdom to understand Buddhism, which is emphasized in the northern tradition. So the meditation on the breath is based on the Anapanasati Sutta. Anapanasati Sutta explains the 16 exercises connected with the practice of mindfulness based on observation of the breath. This is what is Anapanasati about. So the Anapana meditation is, in the Buddhist tradition, entrance into the practice of the four foundations of mindfulness. The essence of mindfulness are the four foundations of mindfulness. This is very important to understand. And this four no matter what Buddhism we learn, this practice of the four foundations of mindfulness is the essence of the Buddhist meditation. Of course, they are explained in a different way in the northern tradition, emphasizing the transcendental wisdom, and in the southern tradition, emphasizing the differentiating wisdom. So these four foundations of mindfulness in the Theravada tradition, and also, of course, in all traditions explaining the path to arahathood, which are called the Shravaka tradition, the tradition of the disciples. So, as you may know, Buddha has taught three vehicles. Actually, in Mahayana, usually we explain three vehicles just as skillful means. There is eventually only one vehicle. Three vehicles to attain the state of purity. We practice Buddhism to attain the state of purity, and this is also in a way the aim of all religious practice, to attain the state of purity. So we can attain the state of purity by practicing the path of the disciples, which is based on the differentiating wisdom, and it is based on the deep understanding of the Four Noble Truths. The path of the Buddhas for themselves, which is based on understanding of deeper understanding of the dependent origination, and finally the path of the Bodhisattvas, which is based on the non-dualistic approach to meditation. This non-dualistic approach to meditation, no matter how we learn, is very useful. It's very useful for understanding the aim of the Buddhist meditation, which is of course purity, and it is same in all traditions. So Anapana Sati Sutta, and all, you will find also explanation of these 16 exercises in the Samyutta Nikaya. You will find in the Vinaya also these 16 exercises. And Buddha explained these 16 exercises as the essence of practicing the four foundations of mindfulness based on observation of the breath. And the four foundations of mindfulness, as Satipatthana Sutta teaches, which is related to Anapanasati Sutta, is considered to be the only way, ekayana, for the purification of the beings. There is actually no other way. Now, Anapanasati Sutta is, as I have pointed out, is the entrance into the practice of the Satipatthana. And these 16 exercises, they are concerned with the four aspects of the Satipatthana practice, that means the Kaya Gata Sati, the mindfulness literally gone into the body. You will find also in the Buddhist canon, both northern and southern, you will find the Kaya Gata Sati Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, the Anapana Sati Sutta you will find in the Majjhima Nikaya, also in the Digha Nikaya. In the Digha Nikaya version, it is extended by explanation of the Four Noble Truths, but otherwise it is the same. And the Kaya Gata Sati Sutta has only four exercises, namely the mindfulness of the body. And this mindfulness of the body is especially important for understanding the practice of shamatha. And shamatha is the base, in fact, of all Buddhist practices. Without shamatha, we cannot get deep into into any religion, no matter whether Buddhism or Hindu yoga, or even Western religion. The deep experience depends on our ability to concentrate. So this Kaya Gata Sati Sutta is kind of a base. Deep concentration leads to, when mastered, leads to supernatural powers. And according to the tradition, under the Bodhi tree, the Buddha got a perfect enlightenment, the most superior of all enlightenments, due to his perfect practice of the perfections, precisely by using the supernatural powers, namely the power of seeing the past lives and the power of seeing how we beings go from life to life on the basis of our karmic accumulation. So through these, especially through these two supernatural powers, he could attain a perfect understanding of the real state of things. In order to get enlightenment, we have to understand the real state of the things. And in order to do so, we have to have concentration. So it is a rule in yoga, it is a rule in Buddhism. Samahitam chitam yatha bhutam pasati. Only the mind in samadhi, that means in perfect balance. Samadhi means a state of perfect balance. We can see things as they really are. And see things as they really are, in the Buddhist sense, means cease to see the selfless nature of all the contents of our experience, which is interpreted, especially in Northern tradition, as seeing the emptiness of all the phenomena without exception. So, this is what is to be realized, and the realization of the selflessness is the realization of the middle path. This is very important to understand. In fact, according to Buddhism, we only understand the middle path when we understand the transcendental wisdom. Only through transcendental wisdom we can get into the middle path. It is the same in all Buddhist traditions, only the emphasis and the methods are different. So this practice of the four foundations of mindfulness are also for the purpose of attaining the transcendental wisdom, the wisdom which goes literally beyond the world. And Anapanasati is traditionally considered to be the best method to get this wisdom, namely, as we have explained, the Theravada tradition or the tradition of the Shramanas, tradition of the ascetics. Maybe those of you who don't know the Indian culture, in India we have two kinds of culture, the Shramana culture and the Brahmana culture. The Buddhism belongs to the Shramana culture, to the culture of those who search liberation through one's own effort. Buddhism is by excellence, the philosophy, I would rather prefer to call it philosophy than religion, of attaining liberation through one's own effort. As opposed to the Brahmana culture, which emphasizes attaining liberation through the rituals, through karma. So, attaining liberation through one's own effort, we need basically two things. This is same in Buddhism, same in Jainism, same in Samkhya, in Vedanta. We need the Kaya Viveka and we need Chitta Viveka. We need the isolation of the body. Now, isolation, for those of you who have not studied in Sanskrit or Pali, the Viveka has meaning of isolation. It has meaning of differentiation from the Sanskrit root vich. And it has also the meaning of wisdom, because the essence of wisdom is the correct differentiation. So it has very wide scope of meanings. The first, in order to enter into meditation, we need to isolate the five senses from the five objects called the kama gunas, the qualities of desire, outer desire. This is called kaya viveka. Only when we turn the five senses to the mind, to their source, then we can apply wisdom. We can apply correct differentiation. This is very important to understand. Then we can practice deep concentration, which is basically the practice of the citta viveka, the isolation of the mind, first by means of a meditation object which you can grasp like the breath, and eventually by means of the meditation object you cannot grasp, which brings you to the ultimate reality. And that object you cannot grasp is precisely emptiness, signlessness, desirelessness. These are the things you cannot grasp. And the practice of deep concentration is when combined with vipassana, with clear seeing by differentiation, leads to this state of transcendental wisdom based on this understanding of emptiness, signlessness, and desirelessness. So this is what we aspire for as a Buddhist practitioners: to practice deep concentration, combine it with vipassana, and attain the transcendental wisdom which will allow us to see this world, as we have emphasized yesterday evening, to see this world, and this world is our body and mind, as being emptiness. So this is same in all Buddhist traditions. There is no difference as far as this is concerned. So this citta viveka is first practiced by means of a meditation object you can grasp. And in our case now, we are learning meditation on the breath. It is a breath. The breath we can grasp, and when we apprehend it as something that has a form, because we apprehend first the breath as being a coolness or warmth, the coolness when we breathe in, warmth when we breathe out, this belongs to the fire element. Then we apprehend it as a vibration, which belongs to the wind element. This is our experience of the breath in terms of a form, which is manifested, as we have explained yesterday, in space. Every form needs a space to be manifested. If there is no space, no form can be manifested. This is very important to understand. And the breath manifests in space, so it has a form. And this form indeed are the elements. When there is fire element, there must be earth element, there must be water element, there must be fire element, there must be wind element. They always come together. So this is our experience of the breath as the body. This is very important to understand. Now, that which receives these characteristics is called the sensation. That which perceives the breath as its form image, or as the subtle image when you enter deep into meditation. So this is the perception. That which brings the mind to the object, that is the mental formations, especially the will, the vitarka vichara, the applied attention and the sustained attention. Due to these, we can stay with the object, sublimate the object, so it can become the object of deeper and deeper concentration. So this is how you work on the kaya gata sati, the mindfulness based on the body, on the form. And this is the base for understanding. When we understand the body, we can understand the sensations, because sensations are related to the body. In fact, sensations is what links the body with the mind. This is very important to understand. We know hardness by the sensation of the hardness, and the very important to understand the hardness and the sensation of hardness, they come together, they can never be completely separated except in your thought. So then there is that which differentiates, which is the mind. So actually this is why with the experience of the breath, the whole of our experience comes together. That's why the meditation on the breath is so important. We cannot feel breath without feeling the body and feeling the mind. So breath is in Buddhist tradition, we will read in our text, which Sara will distribute, I see. The breath is based in body and mind. So when the breath is changing, it implies also that the conditioning of the body and the conditioning of the mind is changing. This is very important. This is the importance of meditation on the breath, because it has base in both mind and the body. Other objects, of course, also, but this link is not so clear. With breath, this link is most clear. That's why you will find in Samyutta Nikaya a sutta where Buddha goes to isolation, and Ananda asks if the lay people come and ask where is Buddha, what he should say, then he should say that he is meditating. And if they ask what is he meditating, he should say that he is meditating on the breath. So meditation on the breath, no matter whether we are bodhisattvas, we are arahats, we are anagamis, sakadagamis, sotapanas, we are yet still the putujanas, the people who believe in the existence of self in the five aggregates. It is beneficial for all. This is a message of the Anapanasati Sutta. Buddha precisely explains that meditation on breath, whether we are realized or not realized or partly realized, is to be practiced always. Because when we are aware of the breath, we are aware of body and mind as a process. And being aware of body and the mind as a process, we can investigate clearly. You will find it in your text, we will go through it again. We can understand clearly what the Theravada calls the jnata parinya, the understanding of the objects of wisdom. We cannot get liberation by contemplating the table, contemplating the woman or man. In order to get liberation, we have to understand the objects of wisdom. They are called the jnata parinya, the entrance into deep meditation in Buddhism implies the jnata parinya. Parinya means full knowledge all around. Pari means all around. Jnata means the object of knowledge, what is to be known. That you will find in your text, what is to be known, the five aggregates, which is the base for all our experience, the six inner and the six outer bases, so-called ayatanas, the 18 elements, dhat, 18 dhatus, the eye, the color, and the visual consciousness, and so on, plus the dependent origination and the Four Noble Truths. These are the objects of wisdom. And according to Buddhism, through penetrating these objects of wisdom as a process, you can understand the opening to that which is beyond. According to the very important principle in Buddhism, we have to penetrate the nature of the world, the nature of our experience in the world, to understand what is beyond the world. This is the most emphatic principle of the Buddhist practice. So understanding the worldly experience, we are not misguided in understanding that which is beyond the world, which leads to the ultimate purity. So these are very important principles to consider, and we have to meditate on them. So only when we have understood everything, we can detach from everything, and ultimately we can abandon everything, as the Susima Sutta in Samyutta Nikaya explains. Sabam anabhijanam, sabam aparijanam, sabam avirajam, sabam apajaham, ababho dukkha khayaya. Unless we have known everything, we have penetrated everything, we have detached from everything, we have abandoned everything, we cannot make an end to suffering. This is what the Buddhist canon teaches, and we're very emphatic on it. So, in other words, it means we can only understand that which is beyond when we understand the everything in this world. And everything in this world, these are these objects of the wisdom. And the meditation on the breath is linked to this understanding of everything, because the breath is based clearly on both mind and the body, and mind and the body is the base for everything we experience. So this is very important to understand. So now let us explain today shortly the content of the Anapana Sutta in regard to the 16 exercises, which you will find also in your text but explained in a different way. So these 16 exercises, they have 6 steps in the Chinese tradition and 8 steps in the Theravada tradition, but actually they are the same. Now in the Chinese tradition, or in the Tibetan tradition, especially Chinese tradition, they are called the Liu Miao Men, the 6 wonderful methods. Why 6 wonderful methods? And if you want to understand the text you will be given, Sarah will print it. So this is very important, because it is quite different from the Theravada understanding. They are wonderful methods because each and every method, when you combine, when you understand the whole, can lead to breakthrough, to liberation. So you can get breakthrough, you can get the direct seeing of the supermundane by counting. This is the first step, counting. Counting is explained in the Anapanasati Sutta as sato va asasati, sato va pasasati. He breathes in mindfully breathes out mindfully. Can I have some water, please? So this is what is counting about. You breathe in mindfully and breathe out mindfully. In order to do so, to bring the mind to the breath, you use the counting method. This counting method can be very complicated, as you will find in your text, and it can be quite simple, as you find in Visuddhimagga and so on. But anyway, through counting, you force your mind, so to say, to use mindfulness in the experience of the breath. And the essence of mindfulness, as explained in Theravada, is apilapana. Apilapana means make the mind not wobble. That is a characteristic, according to Abhidhamma, of the mindfulness. Apilapana. When you are, how do you, we know that we are mindful? Because our mind does not wobble. It has a firm attention. When the mind has firm attention, there is mindfulness. If the attention is always distracted, and nowadays it is more or less our nature in the modern world, always working with distracted attention. But for a yogi, this distracted attention is kind of a disease. And this is a great difference. And not easy to understand unless one really feels inspired to do meditation and to do yoga. So this ability to make the mind firm is the job of mindfulness. And according to the Abhidhamma teaching, through mindfulness you get all the other virtues. You start with faith. This is the first virtue you need for meditation. Unless you have faith, faith means conviction. When you have conviction of what you're doing is the right path, only then you will learn to meditate. Then, when you have this conviction, then come the mindfulness and all the rest of the virtues one needs for liberation. The 37 causes of enlightenment all come actually through the function of mindfulness. This is very important to understand, which make the mind stable. Now, in the northern tradition, I don't want to talk too much of Abhidhamma. The mindfulness, if you study Abhidharma Kosha, which is very important for understanding the northern tradition, then you will find the base of mindfulness is the wisdom. So actually they are linked together. They are both. The wisdom needs a stable mind, and concentration also needs a stable mind, and stabilizing the mind is the job of mindfulness. And so mindfulness is both the root of concentration and the root of wisdom. This is very important to understand. Now, we can talk about it later. In the Theravada tradition, we tend to differentiate the concentration and wisdom. This is a peculiarity of the Theravada tradition. The Theravada teachers will separate shamatha from vipassana. First you attain the shamatha, then you work on vipassana. But in the northern tradition, this shamatha and vipassana, especially in the Yogacara, the Madhyamika, they from the very beginning, in a way, they link together. If you want to understand your text, which we're going to go through in the evenings, so this is very important to understand. That's why you can combine the concentration and wisdom even in counting. In the Chinese tradition, every step of the 6 or 8 steps that we're going to learn today has the part of training and the part of witnessing. When you witness, you immediately also absorb in your meditation the following step. So once you have gone through these steps, you can then on any of these steps you can get a clarity. You will see in your text, this is a difference. So first you can go through the step by step, but then eventually you combine these steps together and use them according to your need. So when you have trained in counting, then next step will be naturally you will enter in your practice to the next step, which is called anugamana. Anugamana means following. That means you follow the breath. When you can count the breath and you attain some concentration in the counting on the process of in-breath and out-breath, automatically you will be aware of the following. And this following is explained by 2 exercises, namely rasa digham asasanto digham asasamiti pajanati, digham pasasanto digham pasasamiti pajanati, rasam asasanto rasam asasamiti pajanati, rasam pasasanto rasam pasasamiti pajanati. Huh? Anyone learn Pali here? Anyway, it's not important. I have to repeat it to get it. It means learning. It means you will have learning in the northern tradition in your text, but you have no learning in the Theravada. While breathing in the long breath, I know pajanati means I know very clearly. I am breathing in a long breath. When breathing out a long breath, I know very clearly I am breathing out or the long breath. And when breathing in the short breath, I know very clearly I am breathing in the short breath. Breathing out the short breath, I know very clearly I am breathing out the short breath. So these 2 exercises, they explain the practice of following anugamana. So when they become clear, you cannot breathe in or out long breath and short breath at the same time, but you can breathe in a long breath and out a short breath, or the vice versa. This is possible. So you don't important is in anapanasati meditation, this is the difference between pranayama and the anapanasati meditation. In anapanasati meditation, you don't control the breath, you don't decide you want it long, you don't decide you want it short, you only are a pure observer. This is clearly explained, especially in the Abhidharma Kosha. Vasumandhu explained, this is the difference between pranayama and the anapanasati meditation. So he says the other schools, they do not know anapanasati, but as often happens in India, the Buddhists have prejudice against the other schools, and the other schools have prejudice against the Buddhists. This is normal. Actually, in pranayama, when you go deep into the yoga, the control by force is only preliminary. Then also you learn to breathe naturally, but the preliminary is to control, to prolong the in-between breath. And we will learn in this method you're going to learn, you have a similar process, only not by force, but by attention, by pure attention. Attention, when accompanied by mindfulness, becomes the concentrated attention. And concentrated attention is a key to meditation. This is very important to understand. We can only advance in meditation by developing the concentrated attention. So the concentrated attention brings the stability to the mind due to mindfulness. And attention is very important to understand. It's the beginning of each and every mental process. There is no mental process without attention. That's why attention in Sanskrit is called manasikara, which literally means making object in the mind. We have to make the object in the mind in order to be aware of it. When we are aware of it, we can stabilize it. And we will be aware of it due to the function of the mindfulness. It is very important to see very clearly in our practice how mindfulness crystallizes the awareness, and awareness keeps mindfulness going. So these two, they are the key to deep meditation. No matter whether shamatha or vipassana. So when we can count, we will be able to follow each and every long and short breath. We will learn this following in the Theravada tradition happens on the anapana nimitta, which is a place of touch where you, around the nostrils, you generally explain where you feel the in-breath and out-breath. That means, according to the teachings of the Visuddhimagga, Patisambhidamagga, especially detailed, you, while meditating on the breath in the Theravada method, you are aware, as I have explained, that the beginning of the in-breath is at the nostrils, the middle is at the chest, the end is at the belly or the lower abdomen, and the out-breath starts at the abdomen, beginning middle in the chest, and again at the nostrils. You are aware of it, but your attention stays at the anapana nimitta, which is a place where you feel the touch of the breath. So you don't follow. This is very important to understand the Theravada method. You will see in Visuddhimagga, you will have many, many examples to explain this principle. We can mention just one maybe. You don't, you know the breath process of going down and up through the body, but you stay at the place of the touch, which is called anapana nimitta. This is compared to in India or in Sri Lanka, you can see still people use the big saw. They make a hole in the saw and the two guys are holding it with a rope and moving like this. So they don't follow the teeth of the saw forward and backward. They place their attention on the place where the teeth are touching the wood. Only then, in this way, they can succeed in their effort to cut the wood in two. Similarly, the meditator does not follow the breath inside the body, does not follow the breath outside the body, being still aware of this rising and falling of these two stages of the breath, he places his attention on the touching point called anapana nimitta. Nimitta, we have explained, is a very important word in Buddhism and in yoga in general. Nimitta means a sign of the object. Actually, we have said that the mental cognition starts with attention, but also we can say that it starts with a nimitta. First you have to have some image of the object, then you will have the differentiation of that object. So this is also very important to understand. So the nimitta is the condition for the arising of the mind. Without a nimitta, the mind will not arise. And the mind of differentiation of the breath will arise with the anapana nimitta, which is a touching place at the nostrils, where you can feel the in-breath and out-breath. So this is very important to understand. So you stay with this touching place, yet you are still aware that this breath goes down and up. These are the two movements of the breath. And in the Theravada tradition, you only follow the in-breath and the out-breath. When you ask a Theravada teacher in Thailand or in Burma or Sri Lanka what happens when there is between the in-breath and out-breath and out-breath and in-breath, he will tell you, don't pay attention to it and it will not become an object, because it only becomes an object when you pay attention to it, when you make the nimitta of it. This is very important. So nimitta is a condition for arising of the mind, and also the attention is the condition for arising of the mind. If there is no nimitta, if there is no attention, no mind arises. Because mind is that which differentiates. Differentiates what? Differentiates the form, the feeling, the perception and the will, and will formations. This is all what is there to differentiate. So we are at following. The next stage is called tapana. Tapana means placing. When you can follow the long and short breath at the anapana nimitta, so you will be able to place your mind on one place and stabilize it there. This is a condition for creating a subtle image of the breath. Unless you have a subtle image of the breath, you cannot go, strictly speaking, into deep concentration on the breath. This in Visuddhimagga, in northern tradition, you don't find. In Visuddhimagga, you will find a very detailed description of the stages of creating a subtle image. And according to the teachings of the Visuddhimagga, the subtle image is the condition for attaining the dhyana on the anapanasati. Without the subtle image, you cannot attain the dhyana of anapanasati. This is also very important to understand. This part is never explained in the northern tradition, yet it is very important, especially those of us who have practiced the Zen meditation. Like in a Zen meditation, you really cannot go into the Zen unless you have a clear, subtle image of the mind. And that's why many Zen teachers first will teach the anapana meditation to the stage of attaining a subtle image. Only then they will use the Zen methods like Huato, Koan and so on. We will not now discuss all these. So one definitely needs a subtle image to make the sensation and the mind subtle, because the sensation and the mind depends on the how we relate to the object. This is very important to understand. You can have a subtle sensation only on a subtle object, and with a subtle sensation you can have a subtle differentiation. This is very important to understand. So this is a process of developing mindfulness from the subtle body, subtle image, because the image is also the body. You develop the subtle sensation. Through subtle sensation you develop the subtle mind, and through subtle mind again you develop more subtle object and more subtle sensation. So this is a mutual dependence. This mutual dependence, understanding of this mutual dependence, is a key for understanding the meditation on the breath. So the more subtle your image of the breath, the more subtle will be your sensation, and more subtle will be your sensation, mean experience. And then experience is based in mind, of course. So more subtle will be your mind. So this stage of placing, which is a stage of creating the subtle nimitta, the subtle image, is explained in the Anapana Sutta as sabbakaya patisamvedi asasisamiti sikhati, sabbakaya patisamvedi pasasisamiti sikhati. Experiencing the whole body, I breathe in. Experiencing the whole body, I breathe out. This explains the stage of placing the mind on a more and more subtle image. So when you can follow each and every long or short in-breath and out-breath, then at the anapana nimitta you will get some signs of the subtle image. Usually it will be at first, when the mind is not yet stable, it will be of a kind of like a smoke color. Unstable, it will appear and disappear. So it's very important not to pay attention to it, because if you pay attention to unstable object, the mind, it tends to become unstable also. So you stay with the long or short breath. At this stage the breath will become shorter. So don't be concerned breath becoming shorter. It may be a good sign. If we working with a body or with emotions, it is a bad sign. But in meditation it can be a good sign. When the breath becomes more subtle, it tends to become shorter. Then these sporadic images may appear. If you don't pay attention to them, you continue pay attention to the in-breath and out-breath, they tend to stabilize, become more clear. When they become more clear and stabilized, they can be grasped by the mind. That is called ugaha nimitta in Visuddhimagga. Utgraha, you can pick it up. When you can pick it up and stay with it, then it becomes patibhaga nimitta, that becomes reflected image. And that reflected image is, according to the Visuddhimagga, the object of the upachara samadhi, of the proximate samadhi, of the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana. So when you get a deeper concentration, it will be accompanied by this, according to the Visuddhimagga explanation, by this so-called reflected image, Patibhaga Nimitta. This is very wonderful word, Patibhaga, reflected image. It is like in a picture in the mirror. And the mirror is of course the mind. So the mind, due to its concentration, can purify the image which actually comes from the mind itself. This is a very interesting stage. So the job of the meditator, if you want to attain the dhyana concentration, is to protect this Patibhaga Nimitta so that it becomes stable. When it becomes stable, like suppose you have a torch in your hand, your hand does not move, the flash light, you say, also does not move. So then in this conditioning you can merge, the mind will merge with that subtle image, and that state is called dhyana. That means the mind does not move. Most of us will experience this stage for not very long time, but if one practices assiduously, so one can maintain it even for hours, if the great meditators even for days altogether. But anyway, this subtle image is very important. It is not difficult to enter the dhyana, but it is very difficult to protect the subtle image. Because we, inferior meditators, we will always have this habit of mind arising again and again on different other images. So, important to understand, when there is other image, you are literally out of the dhyana. So, actually, we are in dhyana, but strictly speaking, we are very often out of dhyana. But still, even being out of dhyana, this conditioning you can use for vipassana, and it is very, very beneficial. So we come to the fourth stage of the practice, which is explained by Pasambayam Kaya Sankharam Asasi Samiti Sikati, Pasambayam Kaya Sankaram Pasasi Samiti Sikati. I learn these previous stages were not in the Theravada tradition, are not with learning. In your text you will find every stage is with learning, because they want to combine them together, as we have explained. Combine Shamatha and Vipassana together, not separate them. So, Pasambaya means sublimating, we can best translate. I learn to breathe in and breathe out, sublimating the bodily formations. What is bodily formation? Bodily formation is nothing else but the breath itself. In your text you will find the different names for breath, the wind, bodily formation, anapana, and so on. The main word is breath, also prana. But the breath is called the bodily formation because through the breath the body is formed. In the Samyutta Nikaya you will find a very interesting sutra in the Anapana Samyutta, very interesting part of if you want to study the Anapana meditation. The Buddha says, you bhikkhu, look at the monk sitting under the tree. What is he meditating? they reply, our knowledge depends on the master. And he says, he is meditating anapanasati. Why? Look how firm his body attitude is. So the breath actually forms the body, make it firm. Now you are learning Qigong. So this is important to digest. And when you learn this northern method, of which we will be speaking later, after explaining the Theravada method, I have said if you already have a good base on the Theravada method, you can continue, stabilize it, and learn the other method later. If you are interested in yoga and so on, you will find this method very beneficial from the very beginning. So this stage of stage 3 and stage 4, they are combined with the sikkhati. He learns. Why? I have not explained why. Because when you place your mind on the on the in-breath and out-breath, you actually place sabbakaya patisamvedi, experiencing the whole body, you actually experience three bodies. This is very important to understand. Body, the kaya in Sanskrit, same in Pali, has a similar meaning like the skanda, like the aggregate. Body means many, many things together. Like a chariot means many, many parts. So the body means many, many parts together, combined together. So you have actually, when you place the mind on the subtle image of the breath, you get three bodies. The body of the breath, the whole body, which is connected with the breath, and the body of the mind, because mind is also like a body combined of many, many mental factors, which make the form of the mind. The mind itself is a mystery, it has no form, but its form are the mental factors. But they are not form like a rupa, like a form, they are content. Because the mind is formless, of course. But the content of the mind are the mental factors, called the chaitas or chetasikas. That means those, the things that belong to the mind. Without the things that belong to the mind, we cannot perceive the mind. So, when these three bodies come together, then the image will be stabilized. And when the image is stabilized, then the breath becomes more and more sublimated, more sublime in the upachara, samadhi, more sublime in the first dhyana, more sublime in the second dhyana, more sublime in the third dhyana, and disappears virtually. In our case, not completely, because we are not the great yogis, but disappears at least at the touch of the nostrils, but you still may feel it here. Reading the text that you will be given, even that breath, this movement of the belly may disappear, but probably not in our case. You will have to practice many, many lives maybe to get this kind of experience. In the time of Buddha, when he was in dhyana, the trees were trees were falling next to him, but he did not hear anything. The teacher Ramaputta of Buddha, he sat by the road and 500 bullock carts passed by, but he has not noticed it. So in the ancient times in India, people meditated like that. In our time, probably you will not find, maybe yes, but such meditators usually don't mix with us. Anyway, so this for today, this is a basic explanation of the subject matter as presented in the Anapana Sati Sutta. This actually the same four exercises you can apply to the Vipassana. And we will learn it by studying our text. Once you have mastered the jhanas, and the mastery of jhanas is a condition, according to Theravada, to enter deeply into the practice of Vedana Anupassana, the understanding and the investigating the sensations. Investigating the sensations is the base for investigating the mind, because according to Buddhist principle, the mind differentiates principally that what we experience by senses, by by feeling, differentiate the sensations. And when we have investigated the mind, then we can understand all objects, because the mind is the base for all objects. And when we understand all objects, we can get the liberation. So this is the procedure, this is a step-by-step practice of the 16 exercises, and we will learn it according to the northern tradition, and we will also try to point out some differences with the southern tradition. So I hope we will get a good picture how to meditate by the time we finish this course. So that much for now. We can have a 15 minutes break and do some sitting practice. And today, since it is the first day, we will continue at 2 o'clock also with some explanation. And then in the evening, the Dhamma talk will be mostly concerned with more theory. In the morning, we will talk about the practical part, and in the evening we will more discuss the theory, so that you get a clear grasp of some basic ideas of Yogacara which are connected with this text, so that you understand better this text. And as I have pointed out, this Yogacara tradition, or Mahayana tradition in general, is linked to the Indian yoga tradition, and it makes it very interesting. While in Theravada they tend to differentiate themselves from the yoga tradition, not so in the Mahayana or northern tradition, which from the very beginning, just like yoga, tries to link the Shamatha and Vipassana together, not separate them. Okay, so that much for now. So we have time to 12 o'clock. Let us do 15 minutes walking, and then we do two small sessions of meditation. Okay? Where do we do walking meditation?
Outside.
Outside? Okay. So now it's 10 past 10, so we will meet at 10:30.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.